This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners on this special Memorial Day weekend. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
On Christmas, we celebrate Christ's birth. On Easter, we celebrate Christ's resurrection. On Pentecost, which is today, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit in a unique way. But who in the world is the Holy Spirit? And we'll attempt to answer that question in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we confess that without you, nothing is ever happening in the church. For it is your power, working through the Word of God, that people are brought to faith. It is in you that we receive power to claim Christ as our Savior and Lord. It is in you, Holy Spirit, that we grow up to be new men and women of God. Speak to us today through your word and help us to clarify the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Friends in Christ. Many of us find it very exciting to be with a group of young people, especially when they are performing in some way. There we have an opportunity to see their talents and the potential of what they carry with them into life. This winter, my wife and I attended a concert of the high school symphony orchestra. It was thrilling to hear the beautiful music coming from these young people via their instruments. As we were riding home, my wife and I remarked, "Remember when we went to the first concert of some of these young people? That must have been about 5 or 6 years ago. And they had really just gotten a hold of their instrument. They were first learning." One mother kiddingly said after the concert was over, "It was so bad I sometimes wondered if they were using the same music book." What patience those teachers must have had. Those sour notes must have hurt their ears, but they knew how much potential these children had, and they realized that 5 or 6 years later, they would be producing beautiful music. And that night when we were at the symphony of those young people, the teachers had proven their point. What an excellent job from the first time on that they had done with these young people. Another very exciting afternoon for me is to attend the commencement exercises at one of our colleges or high schools, whatever it might be. To watch these young people as they cross the stage to get their diploma or their degree. There we realize that we are witnessing some of the greatest minds in America. And they soon are going to take their next step into this world where one day they will become the leaders in government, science, law, education, church, business, and a host of other things. These are the leaders. When you stop and think of it, that it's entirely possible that in these days, somebody is graduating from high school who one day will be the president of the United States, who one day will be the governor of a state, who one day will be the mayor of your town. It is an exciting, exciting experience. Someone could respond to these remarks and say, "But notice what you have said. You're talking about the few at the top. What about those who are not gifted enough to be known?" I would ask, but who are they? Yes, I would agree that there are those who gain prominence in leadership roles, and perhaps we would have to say that they might have had extra talent or greater opportunities to excel or personal initiative, or maybe they were in the right place at the right time. But those with unnoticed talents made great contributions too. Remember Jesus' parable of the talents? He said there were some who received 5 talents. There were others who got 2. And there were some who got only 1. But they were all talented. They all had a contribution to make in life. And it may not be scattered across the pages of the newspaper or heard or seen on television or radio. But nevertheless, they had a real contribution to make. They have been created in the image of God with the potential. That's what I'm after. The potential of becoming great people in this world. And so we talk about going to see some of these great events that our young people are in, be it a concert or an athletic contest or whatever. And we think about their graduation day and the chills that go up and down in our spine as we realize the talent that they represent. But for me, there is one experience that has even more excitement to it than going to one of these affairs with our young people. And this does not include just young people. This includes people of every age. That was the experience that I was privileged to have nearly every Sunday for many, many years, to stand in the pulpit on a Sunday morning, look out over that congregation, and realize the potential in that audience. Think of what would happen if their lives could be committed to Jesus Christ, to the very last person. How life in their families might change. Love could replace hatred. How the congregation would change if each one lived in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus and were really on fire to bring the cause of Jesus Christ to this world. Think of those 1,800 to 2,000 people in our congregation. If they left that church ready to bear witness to Jesus Christ the next day, either at school or at work or at pleasure, what a difference it could make in our world. What if? What if? And that is a question that Satan often asks me when it's all over and I begin to lose some of my enthusiasm. But I'm now in the school of reality. And the devil says to me, but it just isn't going to happen. I have a strong enough hold on them that this will not happen. And the name of Jesus will stop at the door. And as long as he's inside the door of that church, I'm not too worried. But we have a right to think big on this Pentecost Sunday. We have a right to think big because of what is recorded in the Bible and what we have seen written on the pages of history. Think what happened on that first Pentecost Sunday. Then remember that nothing has changed. Human nature hasn't changed. It's the same today as it was then in spite of all of our education. We are now just as sinful as they were then. And the gospel of Jesus Christ has not changed, not one iota. Men have tried to change it, but generally speaking, they were most ineffective. It is just as powerful, that gospel of the crucified and risen Christ, now as it was then. And certainly the Holy Spirit, who worked through that word as it was preached by Peter on that first Pentecost Sunday, has not changed one bit. And it lives in the lives of many people today and changes their whole person. So I'd like to go with you this morning, or this evening, or whenever you listen to our program, to the second chapter of the book of Acts. You know, when you want to read about the birth of Jesus Christ, you go to Luke 2. If you want to read about his resurrection, you can go to John 20. And if you want to read about the coming of the Holy Spirit in a unique way, you turn to Acts 2. So what I'd like to do is stay very, very close to this particular portion of God's Word, just to see what happened on Pentecost number 1. The first 8 verses of the second chapter read as follows in the book of Acts. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each one of us hears them in his own native language?" What does this mean? And people have read that account from that day to this, and they're asking the question, who is this Holy Spirit, and what does this mean? Well, of course, there were some people in the crowd. They had an answer for this, and they said, well, What's happened is they've just drunk too much wine. They're intoxicated. And that caused Peter to get up and go to his pulpit. Now, I talk about the vision that you have in the pulpit on any given day. You look out over a mass of people, and you know that they have come to hear something about the Word of God. Now Peter was able to stand in front of them and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he begins by saying to them, no, they aren't drunk. Now remember who Peter was. Peter was a fisherman, a common, ordinary fisherman. How many talents did he have? 5, 2, 1? I don't know. But he was a common, ordinary person of the daily walk. He said, you don't understand, people. This Lord Jesus Christ and this event of today where God says to his prophet Joel, I will pour out my spirit on all people, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's what's happening here. The Spirit of God has come to these people, the apostle cries out. And I want you to know he can change their lives. He can make them to be new people. And then he went on to quote David. They thought so much of King David. David was the one who talked about the Lord Jesus and told about he would be raised from the dead and he would find his comfort and his peace in that Christ. Well, that's what's happened. Don't you see that Jesus has come and fulfilled this prophecy? He has revealed himself as the one sent from God. For over 3 years now, Peter was saying to them, he has stood in your midst. He went to Nazareth and told them in his own home synagogue that he was the Son of God and the promised Messiah, and they threw him out and tried to kill him. He was in and around Jerusalem again and again and again, and they became more angry every time they saw him. He walked through Galilee, around the great Sea of Galilee, but they didn't want to believe him. Oh, they did for a little while. There were some who were emotionally disturbed, and they thought, well, perhaps he is all that he says he is. But when the day came that they had to show their true colors, they sent him to the cross. And there on that cross, he suffered and died for the sins of the world. That was God's atoning price that he paid, the giving of his Son, that all of our sins might be completely paid for, and that those of us who would trust in him as Savior and Lord would be completely forgiven. This was Peter's sermon. Really not too bad, was it? He was getting right down to the basic facts. He was telling them how badly they needed a Savior and what Jesus Christ could do for them. So it was that Peter then continued, and they asked the question, what shall we do? We did this in ignorance. We didn't realize who he really was. And now you say this man God has made, Jesus, and that we crucified him? He is both Lord and Christ? What shall we do? Now, Peter has an answer for them. And if you still have your Bibles open, if you turn to verse 38 in the second chapter of Acts, here's what he says. Peter replied, yes, you are guilty, but repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit will come and live in your heart. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And when many other words he had spoken warned them, he then pleaded with them, my friends, save yourself from this corrupt generation. And that is the word of God that is going out today. Let us save ourselves from a corrupt generation. And the people responded again. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. That was Pentecost number one. What makes us believe that something like that cannot happen yet today? Satan would like to have us believe that it couldn't happen. 3,000 were born again. I wonder, on this Pentecost 2007, how many people will be born again today? And I believe if we take a look at the world, that there will be far more than 3,000 who will be born today, for the gospel of Jesus Christ is being preached around the world. Revival and spiritual awakenings are coming in Africa and all other parts that before had not heard very much about the gospel. Look what is happening even within our own country. We see and hear so much about the corruption that is going on there, and we are not going to deny that. But stop and look at what else is happening. Take a look at the evangelistic movement. Talk with some of your young people. See how concerned they are. Realize what a clear testimony they have of Jesus Christ. Yes, our young people, at least those that I talk with, and many of them I do not know. Pull them at random from off the street. Get into a conversation about religion and see how soon it is that they can focus in on the cross and what Jesus Christ has done for them. The Holy Spirit is at work. Nothing has really changed. The Holy Spirit has always been, and He has revealed that day what He could do in the hearts and the lives of people, and that same thing He can do today to bring us into a personal relationship with the Lord. To watch the Holy Spirit work in our own lives and the lives of other people is tremendously exciting. He is not out looking for great talent, like you do when you go to try to find a good athlete. He is not out looking for someone who necessarily is going to become nationally prominent. He's looking for all of us because we need Him. Some of you need Him for your lost soul. You do not have the forgiveness of your sins. You do not know Jesus Christ. And so He is saying to you today, I came to you. And I want you to know what I can do for you. I can erase that sin. I can make you a brand new person, and you can have whole new goals in life, and life can be exciting, and I will do it all. All you have to do is open up and let me come in to your life. Faith for the unbeliever, spiritual maturity for those who have walked with Him for a long time. Yeah, it was a great day, Pentecost number one. 3,000 people entered into a personal relationship with God. And so it's going to continue on and on until Jesus Christ comes again. Sometimes we think we've heard the last of all Jesus is going to do, and that is not true. One of my favorite writers, and a man whom I have been with many times, I cannot call him a personal friend, I don't know him that well, but I've been with him many times and heard him speak, Lloyd John Ogilvy, has written a delightful little book, The Red Embers in the White Ash. And in this book, he is saying, God is promising wonders that He has never done before. Well, that was a wonder when God, on Pentecost Sunday, brought 3,000 people into this world. But I believe that Dr. Ogilvy is correct when he says greater things than that are happening. And so we let the Holy Spirit move. And those of us who are the children of God by grace through faith in Christ, we are the ones to carry the message through whom the Holy Spirit will do His work. It'll bring enlightenment to your church. It'll bring new joy to your home. It'll bring peace and comfort to your own life. On Pentecost, praise God for the Holy Spirit, who does all things well. Amen. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew. That all Holy Spirit, we remember in a very special way today those who are sick and those for whom death draws near. Comfort them, O God, with your word. Send, we pray, laborers to their bedside to give them that message, the same message that Peter gave on First Pentecost, that they may have peace and joy and assurance that Jesus is theirs, both now and forevermore. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May God's richest blessings be with you this week as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent upon the free will gifts of our listening family. A memorial gift is a meaningful way to remember a loved one. Memorial gifts are sometimes given to remember a very special person on a birthday or some other occasion. We thank each of our listeners who have remembered Christian Crusaders with their gifts and their prayers. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's service are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 71st year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.